Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Well, so far it's been a good start to the second quarter for most markets in the Asia-Pacific space, and perhaps Singaporean stocks can continue their excellent start to 2021. But before we get into the second quarter, there is a little bit of unfinished business from the end of March, and that was earlier this week when we saw a massive margin call worth more than $20 billion erupt out in the U.S. surrounding a family office called Archegos Capital Management. Now, while some believe that the financial fallout may be contained, there are some questions about whether or not this is a hint at possible lingering financial risks that maybe folks are not aware of in global markets. Today on Money FM 89.3, we are joined by Mr. Stephen Innes, the Chief Market Strategist for the Asia-Pacific region at Axie Corp. He joins us all the way from Bangkok to share with us his thoughts about what the recent fallout from Archegos Capital Management will mean for markets and whether or not there are any lessons we can pick up from that. Stephen, thank you so much for joining us. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are in good health at the start of the second quarter. And I hope I pronounced the name of Archegos correctly.
Yes, it's good, and thanks for having me on again, JP.
And if you notice, Stephen, at the end of each month this year, there seems to be a bit of a surprise. We had the Reddit retail frenzy at the end of January, which you talked about, the rise in bond yields that started to pick up in earnest at the end of February, and now this blow-up for Archegos' capital management, which really came down to a massive margin call. Now, we seldom see margin calls of this size occur. I think people are still scratching their heads as to how this could have erupted. You've been watching the markets for quite some time. What do you think happened? And have the risks actually been contained, in your opinion?
Very good question. I really don't know what, you know, have any unique inside track as to what was going on at the prime brokerage level. But certainly if it was on my call and I was asked with the job of monitoring leverage of that size, I would at least knocked on the door, client's door, a little bit earlier, made a few inquiries as to why are you running this credit card up so much? But apparently that wasn't done. And then, you know, things were continuing to roll on. Then all of a sudden, bang. From my understanding, and this is completely through broken telephone conversations, there was discussions between the two prime brokers initially, which were Credit Suisse and Nomura. Mm-hmm. And then they called up everyone else on the tombstone. And I'm referring to the tombstone as just a collective of other banks that were quite rather exposed to the fund. You know, these things aren't secret. There's really no Chinese walls here. Everybody seems to know exactly who's doing what in this business. And that's one of the things. But it seems that somebody broke ranks and decided to go out and sell ahead of a tentative agreement. I guess it just comes down to a level of trust. You know, people want to be the first ones out, and that really got the ball steamrolled. But you know, it raises questions on a number of levels. First, how can a family office be offered that much leverage? That doesn't make any sense, first of all, right? You know, generally speaking, you'd have to have some solid assets and at least huge amounts of cash on hand, especially the reputation of the protagonist that we're talking about right now. The other thing is, why would the banks all of a sudden just hit the sell button? You know, my years in the electronic space were really encompassed around trying to excel at execution levels and attempting not to leave a messy footprint. But boy, oh boy, if you want to leave a messy footprint, sell a block, couple of block orders that size, and it certainly will go. But I think the market reaction is quite telling. You know, stocks continued to hold on to their upper end levels. Bond markets didn't react too violently, and that suggests that markets reacted thinking under the guise that this is nothing, this is a micro event that's not going to blossom into a macro event. It was sort of a look through. However, this is a quick sidebar here. You know, the current rolling series of hedge funds and financial firms blow up sort of reminds me of my early, you know, back in the early 2000s. Especially in 2007, when Bear Stearns hedge fund was first, mm-hmm. and this century went bankrupt, and you've got GS Alpha and so on and so on. And, you know, obviously we're keeping tabs of the dominoes, and that's what I'm referring to many hedge funds out there, to see if the dominoes start to fall. But it looks like the risk management controls are well in place at a lot of other places, and they weren't really that exposed. So we just have to keep on monitoring. Now, right now the dominoes aren't falling, and the markets look through fairly steadily.
Right. It's been pointed out that ever since rates were brought to these ultra low levels and also a lot of liquidity was introduced into the markets, that it could have encouraged a lot of unnecessary risk taking, perhaps distorted risk profiles. Do you think that perhaps this incident where we've seen a lot of distortions, at least with regards to risk management at this firm, do you think this might be related to an environment that's encouraged this? Or do you think this is just par for the course for Wall Street for the most part, that you will see some of these high risk takers suddenly exposed to this kind of risk, especially a magnitude of billions of dollars?
Yeah, I don't think that the cheap money was any fact of it whatsoever. Sure, it does encourage to a broader extent to borrow cheap and put it into the market. But we're talking massive amounts of leverage here, and I don't really know what they were paying for the leverage and what exact level it was of risk level they were fitting into, but it's not 0%. From what I understand, a lot of this risk was put on prior to the Fed dropping their pants, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But does it matter? Not really. I think the problem is on risk control at both ends of the scale here, not just from the fund itself, but also from the banks themselves. The banks should be monitoring this kind of colossal risk, given the reputational risk of the protagonist, and also given the fact of the ultimate market risk for the market's peaking topside. You know, you could be stuck as a bag holder if some sort of systemic risk hit the market. Should have learned your lesson, you know, when we had that GameStop fiasco, to sort of open up the books a little bit more and check out what's going underneath the hood right now. Yeah, thanks, JP. I needed that assistance.
Right. Okay. So on the flip side, though, some have also argued that perhaps the rise in yields at the moment and these tighter liquidity conditions that people are expecting might have forced the banks and some of these prime brokers to become a little bit more fastidious or perhaps a little bit more strict with regards to enforcing margin calls. Do you think tightening liquidity expectations and rising yields could have also played a factor? And if so, if this does continue, could we even see future events similar to what happened to Archegos Capital occur if we start to see more tightening liquidity conditions, which might force some of these prime brokers to initiate margin calls in a stricter manner?
Well, you know, it's the level of interest rates we're talking about. It's not that high. I think it's the market risk profile rather than the way the markets react to higher yields rather than the higher yields themselves, because they're very, very low still. So the borrowing costs at such, with the Fed anchoring rates near 0%, they're still not moving anywhere. It's really the systemic risk that is boiled on from a sudden shock to the markets. That's where I believe the balance of risk, not necessarily the interest rate risk that we're going through right now. Mind you, I could be completely wrong. We could have a complete wipeout once yields hit 2 and 2.25. But I'm not anticipating that to happen. I'm expecting the market to see through these rising yields. The big problem is how quick yields rise, not necessarily the absolute level, in my view.
All right. The word margin call has arguably been the theme of the week, especially from the fallout of Archegos Capital Management. But of course, margin calls are something that even the average retail investor faces. Anybody with a trading account or perhaps even borrows on leverage has this. What can the average retail investor learn from this saga, Stephen, if you could speak to the average retail investor here in Singapore, and why might this be important?
Well, you know, the regulators have been speaking loud and clear over the years and have continued to drop the leverage available to retail traders. And I think it's very prudent. I think it's just too easy to lose money. The market right now is almost like a snack well, a fat-free cookie, if I can draw this analogy, in the sense that you can almost feel yourself, you can eat more, but you won't gain any weight. That's not really it. It's sort of similar to this low-cost brokerage thing where people think that they can just trade without having any repercussions. Ultimately, people start to leverage too much and they get caught in one bad trade and they keep on buy, but eventually the bottom falls out and they lose money. That's the story for 75 to 80% of retail traders. They lose primarily because they over-leverage, because that's the real problem. They have to really learn the risk management principles. You know, whether it's a 3-to-1 risk, in other words, you're going to put a stop loss of 100 pips to make 300 pips, or whether it's just a hard capital loss that, say, I'm not going to lose more than $1,000 or $100, depending on your margin account on any one trade. You've got to adhere to these rules, and these rules that have been drilled into the market psyche over the years, at least the pro-level market psyche, retail traders have to understand these same rules that the big boys play with, generally speaking, although apparent big boy didn't honor those rules, and look what's happened to that fund.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So now that we've dealt with Archegos, and of course we're also monitoring the continued fallout as the number of banks continue to express whether or not they have exposure to this, we do want to take a look at the second quarter. And just very quickly, Stephen, I do want to get your thoughts on what you're expecting or what you're going to be looking out for the most in the second quarter. It's been a very busy start to the year. What are you looking out for the next 3 months?
You know, I think the markets are going to continue to pay very close attention to the U.S. dollar movements while maintaining the view on the pace of the yields. And as I mentioned earlier, it's more about the trajectory, the move's trajectory, which could provide a headwind for equities rather than the absolute levels. It's pretty difficult to get an accurate picture of what's going on in the currency markets right now because of the month-end rebalancing. But generally speaking, I think the writing is on the wall here that yields are going to move a little bit higher into Q2. How high they go will really determine, in my view, which direction the dollar is going to veer. And when the dollar decides to veer, whether it's to 115 or back to 120 on the euro, that's going to cause a massive repricing of risk assets. So I want to be very careful here, and I think investors need to be very, very careful here. And whatever risk profile they're taking on, the dollar is going to play a significant role in repricing assets going into Q2.
All right. Stephen Innes, Chief Market Strategist for the Asia-Pacific region at Axie Corp. Thank you so much for joining us today on Money FM 89.3 to kick off the second quarter and share with us your thoughts on the fallout from that big margin call from Archegos Capital. As always, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety during these times. We look forward to next time we can have you back on the show, sir. Meantime, stay safe and have a great weekend ahead.
Great. And thanks very much. Have a great day, JP.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.